Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer, I'm WNYC, and now William Vandenhoevel, chairman of the Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt Institute and head of the board of directors for the Four Freedoms Park, the new monument to FDR on Roosevelt Island's southern tip, entering its first summer season, open to the public now. In a minute, we will air the central 2 minutes of the Four Freedoms speech from 1941. Many of you have probably never heard this. Our guest, William Vandenhoevel himself, has had a distinguished and eventful career that has included being a top aide to Robert F. Kennedy when he was senator from New York and U.S. Attorney General, deputy ambassador to the United Nations, and a force for reform of New York City's criminal justice system, as well as father of Katrina Vandenhoevel, often guest on this program, editor of The Nation. Ambassador Vandenhoevel, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. Delighted to be here.
And many people listening right now probably don't even know yet that there's such a thing as Four Freedoms Park on Roosevelt Island. What's there?
Well, first of all, they have to know where Roosevelt Island is, in the middle of the East River, somewhere between 43rd Street and 90th Street. The park itself, the Four Freedoms Park, was originally contemplated in 1973. I was there, actually, with Nelson Rockefeller and John Lindsay and a group of distinguished Americans who were committed to building a memorial of Franklin D. Roosevelt. And they decided the best place to do that was going to be at the southern tip of Roosevelt Island, the 5 acres there. Louis Kahn, the icon of 20th century architecture, was chosen to be the architect of this project. And so it was off and running in 1973 as part of an urban renewal project that Ed Logan, Bill Walton, and others had started. And then sort of came a perfect storm. Nelson Rockefeller became vice president of the United States and moved to Washington. Louis Kahn died after completing all the construction drawings unexpectedly, and New York verged on bankruptcy. So for 40 years, this project has been there, and now it's completed, and it's a remarkable tribute to all of those who have participated in its building. And as Paul Goldberger said, it's a stunningly beautiful, unexpectedly beautiful park or work of art. It's not really a park. It's a work of art.
It's a monument.
It's a monument in a sense, but the only presence of Roosevelt is a colossal head sculpted by Joe Davison, who was a great sculptor in the 20s and 30s and 40s. And it's a beautiful head, and we made it into a colossal size. And under it, the only printing is Franklin D. Roosevelt. And then on the other side of that wall are the Four Freedoms.
And so we're going to list the Four Freedoms, but we're going to let President Roosevelt himself do it by playing the original speech excerpt. This was from – it was actually the State of the Union address in 1941, wasn't it?
Yeah, January 6, 1941. The president spoke to the Congress. We were not yet in the war. Pearl Harbor was 11 months away. The president clearly understood that war was probably unavoidable for our country, and he was trying to explain to the people of the United States and the world what could possibly justify the terrible brutality and cost that war was going to bring to our nation and to the world. And so he talked of a different kind of world that had to emerge to justify the terrible cost of World War II.
Including what he framed as four basic human freedoms.
We look forward to a world founded upon four essential human freedoms. The first is freedom of speech and expression everywhere in the world. The second is freedom of every person to worship God in his own way everywhere in the world. The third is freedom from want, which translated into world terms means economic understandings which will secure to every nation a healthy peacetime life for its inhabitants. everywhere in the world. The fourth is freedom from fear, which translated into world terms means a worldwide reduction of armaments to such a point and in such a thorough fashion that no nation will be in a position to commit an act of physical aggression against any neighbor anywhere in the world. That is no vision of a distant millennium. It is a definite basis for a kind of world attainable in our own time and generation.
Wow.
Isn't it wonderful?
Chills.
I know.
Listening to that. I've only heard it once before, I think. Incredible. President Franklin Roosevelt, in his State of the Union address, January 6th, 1941. And that very end piece there, where he says this is not something for future millennia, but achievable in our own time. Do we look back on that now as hopelessly utopian and pie in the sky?
I don't think so. I think our world, and despite all of its tragedies, is a stronger and better world than it was 50 years ago. I think also what he's saying is that this is a challenge to every generation. This is something accomplishable in our own time, Ang generation. So one of the hopes of the Four Freedoms Park is that the thousands of people who come there will remember the challenges that Roosevelt himself described and understand that each of us are involved in the response to it. It's so interesting. He talks everywhere in the world. It's not just an American president talking to American citizens. He's saying we now have to think of ourselves, of our nation, of our rights as something that can lead the rest of the world. And then when he talks about freedom of speech and expression and freedom of worship, freedom from want and freedom from fear were new concepts. And so he invited Americans and the world to understand we can satisfy now the terrible crush of poverty. We can now do something if we come together as nations of the world to stop aggression and to assure peace and stop violence. And that's what's so beautiful about the park. It's cited in such a way so that the vision of the Four Freedoms is not only the words that the president used, but there is the United Nations right next to it. The United Nations, the instrument by which President Roosevelt said that we could help govern the world in a way that would bring peace.
Because it's right across the East River from the UN, right there on that part of Roosevelt Island. You know, oddly enough, as I was watching the speech on YouTube this morning, it really struck me that the freedom from fear was couched as a reduction of armaments in the world. And yet, he wasn't calling for disarmament. In the same speech, he was calling for the manufacture and export of all kinds of arms to the Allies in World War II, in which we were not yet fighting.
It was the beginning of Lend-Lease, really, that speech, where he was saying, I mean, he understood, you know, that the barbaric aggressors in the world, represented by the Nazis and the dictators, had to be repulsed and defeated before you could have a world with a vision of the Four Freedoms. And so he was very realistic and pragmatic about that. But his concept was that the United Nations would be the means by which the nations of the world could add significantly to the governance of the world. It wasn't world government, but it was the world's governments coming together to work out a solution.
William Vandenhoevel, the director of the Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt Institute, talking about the Four Freedoms Park, new in the last few months on Roosevelt Island. And there was no implication that I heard in the speech of the Four Freedoms in a domestic sense. And yet, I feel like I've thought about it in that sense and had conversations about it with people in that sense for a long time. You know, it strikes me that the idea of four freedoms as a list is politically very different from the idea of freedom as a condition. just freedoms, which these days usually is invoked to mean freedom from government as a conservative or a libertarian thing. Opposition to Obamacare was framed as freedom to not buy health insurance, things like that.
The basis of freedom is law and order. Law and order is dependent upon government. What you hope to have and what Roosevelt created in the liberal democracy of the New Deal was a nation, as he said, that is concerned not so much by what those who have much, but to help those who have need. And so the four freedoms, I think, are incorporated in the various programs, the domestic programs of the New Deal. He reached out for that.
Was it freedom from want?
Yes.
It would be hard for any politician to invoke that language today without being labeled a socialist.
Yes. It's interesting that therefore, you have our park. Hopefully, some leaders of the nation and of the world will come to it in the course of the months and years ahead and remember the hopes of the world in 1941 as we were faced with the greatest threat to freedom ever, and say and have the courage to renew that vision and those ideals.
Where did the four come from, the list? Did he develop it over a period of time? Did he dash it off on the back of an envelope the night before the State of the Union? Do you know?
Yeah, well, in the Atlantic Charter Conference with Churchill in August 1941, it was first made reference. He made reference to it. He also used it tentatively in a press conference in later in that year. But he himself wrote this. And Sam Rosenman, who was his counsel and happy speechwriter, recounts how on New Year's Day in 1941, he sat down and the room was quiet and he suddenly began dictating. And I've met she's now no longer with us, Dorothy Brady, who was the secretary who took that dictation from Roosevelt. But he said it almost in one word, you know, in one paragraph. He went right straight for it. It was something very much in his mind. And it's now in the Charter of the United Nations, and it's in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights that Eleanor Roosevelt had such a responsibility to carry out. So I think if there were any monument that the president would have allowed, and he was very much against monuments for himself, that this is one that he would have preferred because it's the concept that meant most to him. And not only do you have the United Nations— you have the great works of America and the New Deal, the tunnels, the roads. You have the bridges. You have the parks of New York City. So much of our infrastructure built during those Roosevelt years. And he was just constantly preaching the concept of renewal of our nation and ourselves.
We have only a minute left, but we're going to get a testimonial to this park from Roy calling in from Roosevelt Island. Roy, you've been there.
Yes, I have. I happen to live on Roosevelt Island, and I wanted to share with the audience the fact that this great artist has managed to create a space in which the individual standing in that park can really sense the depth of the commitment, what the four freedoms means in terms of personal, spiritual experience. The four freedoms, to me, is an attempt by Roosevelt to help us to discard the physical limits that we have placed on our lives and to get in touch with true freedom, which is a freedom to act from a place of brotherhood and love and spiritual regeneration.
And I love that, Roy. It's freedom as connection with people rather than disassociation with people. And I'll just throw in one other thing, Ambassador. We saw that the Four Freedoms Park was built exactly to the designer Kahn's original specifications, except it's 1 foot higher to account for global warming.
And thank goodness we had it because we were untouched by Sandy, whereas all of the possibilities around us. I very much appreciate what Roy has just said because I can't tell you how many visitors come to the park and leave describing truly a spiritual experience that they've had. So, Brian, I hope you'll be there too soon.
I will be there soon. And listeners, on our website, we have some photos of the Four Freedoms Park and a video about the park narrated by none other than Orson Welles. It was made in the 1980s when it looked like the park was about to be built, and then it stutter-stepped again all the way until last fall when it finally opened. And we're so appreciative that William Vandenhoevel, chairman of the Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt Institute and now head of the board of directors for the Four Freedoms Park, on Roosevelt Island has come in to help introduce us to it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, we still have the latest installment of our series with Bill McDonald, the obit editor for the New York Times. He's coming in every day for a week, and we're going to talk about, well, one interesting life. We'll see which one that ended in the last few days. Stay with us.